Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode number 3 of the Big Picture Houston, your mini podcast to cover the Rockets, Texans, and Astros. This is your host, Karthik Prasad, and you can find me on Twitter at @StanfordKP. Thanks, everyone, for listening to the first 2 episodes. Feedback is really great, and I think I've learned a lot as to how to do this in a better way. Today, instead of covering all 3 teams, we're just going to cover 2, the Texans and the Rockets, given their involvement and activity in recent weeks. So let's start with the Rockets. And the big picture question on top of everyone's mind is, what can we really expect from the Rockets this postseason? Well, to me, it's a couple things. First, I think it's getting more and more certain that we'll have the number one seed and home court advantage for as long as we're playing in the playoffs. Why do I think that? Well, our current magic number heading into tonight's game versus Portland is 8. And they'll have 11 games after tonight. But they have a great homestand coming up after this Portland game, in which they'll have Detroit, New Orleans, Atlanta, Chicago, and Phoenix at home. So 5 straight home games. And then they'll have some – they close with the Lakers and the Kings, who are obviously tanking. So that's 7 very winnable games right there. So they'll just need one more win, whether it's tonight at Portland, home versus Portland, or against San Antonio – Washington or Oklahoma City. I think they get to those 8 wins over the next 12 games, including tonight. So, I mean, in the ideal scenario, we get to 64, 65 wins. We're at 56 now. And we're able to rest our key guys down the stretch while managing their minutes, maintaining rhythm, etc. So, home court is looking good. Knock on wood that we stay healthy, we take care of business, and we're able to achieve those goals. And then second, I would say that, you know, the Rockets are really primed to dominate the early rounds. One of the things that I posted on Twitter today was their net rating and overall play when James Harden, Clint Capela, and Chris Paul all play. Their big 3, if you will. And, you know, the official stat is that we're 38-2. I included a couple extra games to bring the total to 43, in which I think maybe one of the 3 was resting in those extra 3 games. But over that 43-game sample, they had a net rating of plus 13, which is incredible and pretty historic, actually, when you compare it to the Warriors teams. And they had a peak month of plus 17, which is in November, and then they actually followed it up with a plus 15.5 in February. And those numbers are as good or better than any of the Warriors teams in the last 3 years. I mean, the Warriors have had similar peaks. I would say this year they haven't been as high-powered, but you know, we know that the potential is there, and they haven't taken as many games seriously. But I think either way you slice and dice the statistics, this Rockets team is formidable as long as those 3 guys stay healthy and they have the balance and defense and shooting around them. And then that, you know, we've covered home court advantage, we've covered their overall play heading into the playoffs. And then, you know, last, you know, would love to talk about matchups. Another poll I ran on Twitter today was, who does Red Nation want to see in the first round and then in the second round? And so the results are in, you know, after a couple hours. 56% of folks wanted to see the Timberwolves in the first round. And then in the second round, it was a pretty even split between New Orleans, the Jazz, and the Spurs. Not very many people wanted to see the Thunder. And I would tend to agree, especially with the first round, in the way people are looking at this. I don't think Minnesota can hang with us, even with Jimmy Butler back. If he's back, he will not be at full strength, and they're one of the teams that run into the math problem of just not taking enough threes or not having enough offensive variance or efficiency to keep up with us, and they don't have a strong defense to fall back on. I think with, you know, Butler can defend, but when you look at the rest of their roster, it's pretty spotty in terms of how they're going to consistently clamp down on Harden, Paul, and of course our shooters. So I would love to draw them in the first round. And then in the second round, you know, I personally prefer if we see New Orleans or if we see the Spurs. I just think the matchup-wise, you know, assuming Kawhi is not 100%, both of those teams have one star. I don't think either of those teams shoot enough threes. I think they can in any one or two games, but over the course of 6 to 7 games, I just don't see either of them having enough scoring to keep up with us. The two teams that I think are playing really well right now, the Jazz and the Blazers, are the two teams I don't really want to see in the second round. Now, granted, I think we can win against both of those, but just objectively speaking, each of them brings something to the table. Utah brings the league's best defense. They have a great home court advantage. They have Gobert, who's one of the few bigs to really deter James at the rim and prevent lobs to Capella. And they have pretty strong perimeter defense and perimeter scoring with Donovan Mitchell and their other wing players. So, you know, Utah is pretty formidable. They've been playing great over the last month since the All-Star break. And same with Portland. We'll see if we can break their streak tonight. But, you know, I think Damian Lillard and CJ McCollum have taken it up a notch. So it'll be interesting to see how, you know, they get through their first-round matchup. I think they'll end up in that 3 seed. So we may not even see them in the second round. But, they also pose a threat to the Warriors, just given the way they can switch on the perimeter and they can attack, Steph Curry on defense. And so, you know, overall, if you think about what can we expect from the Rockets postseason, I think we can expect home court advantage for as long as we're playing. I think we can hopefully expect favorable matchups in round one, hopefully in round two, and then that should set us on a collision course with the Warriors, in which we've really matched them in terms of their ceiling and our peak. I would consider us pretty even based on how the two teams have played. And we have a good enough sample size to lay it out and let the teams settle it themselves on the court in May. So that's what I hope for. That's what Evan's hoping for. But it's a good time to kind of look ahead and see what's on the horizon there. So let's talk Texans. When I last recorded an episode, we were heading into free agency, and now the first week of free agency is in the books. In case you missed it, the Texans have signed several free agents. So they signed Aaron Colvin from the Jaguars and Tyrann Mathieu from the Cardinals in the secondary. Zach Fulton and Senio Calamete as offensive guards on the offensive line. They signed two special teamers, Johnson Batamosi and Josh Keyes. And then they took a flyer on Central Henderson from Buffalo, who Brian Gain knows well. And they re-signed some of their own free agents, Bruce Ellington, Jonathan Joseph, and Angelo Blackston. I mean, so far, it's been a pretty solid value-oriented approach, I would say. I mean, I really like the Colvin signing, and maybe Tyrann Mathieu was a little splashier, but until that point, they hadn't really overpaid. They didn't overpay for Nate Solder, Malcolm Butler. They had a price. They went after those guys, but in the end, I think they stuck to their approach. We'll see what happens. But if you think about, you know, what we can expect from this free agency class, I think it's a couple of things. And Brian Gain, if you listen to him last week in his press conference, he kind of sounded like Kanye West. I mean, he boiled down the Texans' approach to just getting bigger, faster, and stronger, which, again, you know, that's GM speaks a little bit. But I think it's true. So I think the first thing we can expect is that the interior offensive line play will be improved, just based on the physical profile and athletic ability and kind of the experience of the guys they signed. So Calamete is 6'4", 307, pretty good athlete for his position. Zach Fulton is 6'5", 316. Both guys – so Fulton played at both guard spots and at center this past year. Calamete has actually had experience on all 5 positions of the offensive line, so of course they hit on Bill O'Brien's desire for versatility. But I think they bring an athleticism, a size, a strength to the guard position that, you know, hopefully in tandem with Nick Martin, that the interior offensive line should be, you know, much improved compared to last year. You know, and then second, I think the tackle position is still in flux. It's one of them. I mean, they only signed Central Henderson. They took a 1-year flyer on him on a prove-it deal for $4 million. I mean, he's had some issues, whether it's health or and associated with that, some drug-related issues. I mean, he's talented. He's started at right tackle for Buffalo and actually played pretty well. So we'll see. I wouldn't expect too much yet, just depending on how he gets to camp. But, I mean, he has some promise. But at the very least, they got a cheap swing tackle, someone they can plug in and have a body that Brian Gain knows well. And so, you know, the question becomes what to do with both tackle positions. I mean, if you leave Davenport at left tackle, which is where he played last season, you could look to some high potential athletic guys in the draft. And I've talked about Brian O'Neill from Pitt. Maybe he goes rounds 5 or 6, or Colton Miller from UCLA, who maybe goes rounds 3 or 4. You could plug them, just given their profile and experience, on the right side and go young and athletic and continue that that push as we rebuild the offensive line. And otherwise, I don't really give a high percentage likelihood for us to trade for a tackle, but you just never know. There could be teams that decide to get value for their tackle if they're deciding to rebuild or get extra picks. I don't think that's something that we're exploring, but worth talking about as a minor possibility. So first, the interior offensive line play will be improved. Second, the tackle position is still in flux and something they'll probably address in the draft. And then third, I think, and most importantly, the secondary should be much, much more versatile. And I think, you know, similar to how we talk about a switching defense in basketball, the Texans now have 6 guys who have all played corner and or safety and can match up on anyone. So they have Jonathan Joseph, obviously is getting older, veteran, but he's proven he can cover in this league and did so last year. Kevin Johnson, Aaron Colvin, who last year played in the slot for Jacksonville, but that was only because he was lining up behind Jalen Ramsey and A.J. Boye. But when he got chances to line up outside as a corner, he did pretty well. And, John Harris, who covers the Texans, detailed that really well. So I think between those 3 guys at corner, you can kind of move them around, and maybe that gives them a chance to move Kevin Johnson into the slot, where I think his aggressiveness and his size would allow him to actually be a really good slot corner. It might save some wear and tear from having to provide run support on the edge. And so maybe that's something they consider, and Brian Gain alluded to the fact that Aaron Colvin can play anywhere in the secondary. And I think this allows them to finally move Kareem Jackson to safety and pair him with Tyrann Mathieu. And both guys, again, have played corner and then have played safety. And then you could bring in Andre Howell for nickel and dime packages. So like I said, you have 6 guys who can have played corner or safety in their career. And that will allow Romeo Crennel to mix up coverages, dial up pressures. And if we get some pass rush back, these guys can make plays, and that's certainly the goal. But I really like the approach for the Texans here to get a little more versatile and find guys who can really cover and make plays on the ball. And I think there's an opportunity in our 4 picks in round 3 and early in round 4 to add another talented young guy, whether it's a safety or a corner. I think that's a good value position for those. Based on the guys in the draft this year. So we'll see if they can add to that. They have several other guys that, whether they're rookies from last year or practice squad folks, that can maybe take another step. But at least we'll have 6 guys that we've counted on to contribute in the past that can contribute going forward. So that's it for this week's episode. As a quick recap, we covered the Rockets and what to expect from them heading into the playoffs, and we talked Texans and what we can expect from their free agency class. And I'm pretty excited about both teams and where they're headed. I think they've made great moves and positioned themselves to really succeed. And so we'll see what happens. Thanks for listening. As always, send your ideas, your feedback to me on Twitter. Really appreciate y'all taking the time to listen. Thank you.